Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, we interrupt all this exciting news about Kobe Bryant to tell you that a New York City councilman was murdered in a New York City hall today by a so-called political rival. I don't really know what's true about this story other than the fact that a New York City councilman was shot. But again, I'm relying on the Associated Press, which is an American news gathering agency, which immediately means it's suspect and is subjected to hysterical reporting, unprofessional reporting, and so on and so forth. Okay, so just take this with a grain of salt. And by the time my show airs in some markets, you'll have had much more information. But we do know that a New York City councilman was shot and killed. And by the way, let's put the bottom line on this. This was a man who went into a public building with a gun, and this is not the first time this has happened, and it's certainly not going to be the last. As a matter of fact, we might as well be honest with you because nobody else is being honest with you. So let me be the first to tell you that this is never going to end. This is never going to end in this country. And I'll tell you why it's never going to end. Nobody's doing anything about it. You aren't. I'm not going to. I'm just a talk show host. Why should I do anything about it? What, you want me to get on here and campaign for something? You want me to stand here and get everybody calling City Hall? Like they got here in California, a recall campaign. Because the dumbasses that voted for Gray Davis in the first place, now he's not doing what they want him to do, as if they knew what they wanted him to do in the first place. So they're going to recall him, right? See, they're busy with that. Right now, we got councilmen being murdered, guys walking into buildings and shooting the place up, children getting shot up in schools, guns everywhere, bullets flying everywhere, and nobody is doing anything about it. And the reason why no one's doing anything about it, because nothing can be done about it. This is the United States of America, born in violence, fostered in a violent atmosphere, celebrating the gun from the very earliest stages of the development of this nation, from all the way on through Billy the Kid, Al Capone, and to the present day, which is going into classrooms and butchering up children with guns. This is America. And if you think I'm saying this because I want to motivate people, I could care less. Well, I know what people say. Oh, you're saying that so people will get motivated. I don't care whether you get motivated or not. I don't care if every one of your kids gets killed. I do, of course, but hey, there's nothing I can do about it. So what do you want me to do? You want to stand here and scream at people? I'm not going to scream at anybody. I'm just going to clue you in on something because I know nobody's told you this. This is never going to end. This is never going to end. This country is stalemated and will forever be stalemated when it comes to guns. Who ought to get them? Who shouldn't have them? The guys that have them think they ought to have them. The people that don't want them don't think anybody should have them. The guys that some of them get them and they don't think the other ones should get them. Everybody's got an opinion about who ought to have them. There's the so-called law-abiding gun guy. He should have his. And you'll pry his cold, dead fingers and all of that crap. And I understand that. I personally own a gun. I'm a gun owner. I haven't killed anybody with one lately. And I don't anticipate doing, although I might. The way this country is, and the way it's always been, by the way, let's also not foster some opinion that there were the good old days. There's been gun violence since time began. I mean, we didn't have guns, but we had slingshots. As far as I'm concerned, Goliath was a victim of a drive-by. We had guns all over the place. I think every American home should have a gun. Every responsible American should have a gun. I have I wouldn't even second guess that for a second. If you are a sane human being and you are a responsible citizen and you have a home to protect, you're crazy if you don't have a gun. You're crazy if you don't have a gun. I'm going to tell you that straight on. You're out of your mind. What are you going to do? You going to talk some guy out of it? Some guy comes to the window of your house some night, he will change your life forever. Guaranteed, if you don't have a piece on you, someplace in the house. You stand there while somebody wraps duct tape around your head, and you watch your wife get raped. You don't think it happens? It happens, Charlie. What are you going to do, talk him out of it? I recommend a 12-gauge shotgun. You can't miss. You can't miss. You'll mess up some of your furniture. You damn sure probably blow a window out, but I guarantee there's going to be like about a quarter of the guy's head missing. Just about one quarter of his head. But that's responsible people. Let's talk about irresponsible or criminally motivated people. Let's talk about them. In the atmosphere and in the reality of the country that we have, that while responsible people need to own guns because we're not doing anything about the irresponsible people. There's nothing being done. There's nothing that anybody can do. There's no courageous man or woman out there that's going to stand up and lead the way. There's nobody leading this fight. There's no guts out there when it comes to guns. It's just everybody gets to have one. And so this is never going to end. Never. You just might as well get, and we are getting used to it, by the way. It's become, we're kind of numb to it. It's kind of like 9/11. I was saying to Janice today, you know, we're back to September the 10th, a lot of people. We're still sitting like it's, oh, well, you know, that was one thing. And it was a specific little organization called Al-Qaeda and a specific target called the World Trade Center and a specific group of people who were in the World Trade Center, and they had a specific kind of grievance. Hey, I got a great idea. Why are we worried about it? It was in New York. It wasn't out here in California. It wasn't where you live, was it? Why don't we just make it a specific local problem for New York? Because I don't see any linkage, do you? I don't see any linkage. Any linkage to you? There ain't no linkage. I didn't lose anybody in the World Trade Center. See, there's no linkage. So forget that. Because there's no linkage with Saddam Hussein, man. We don't have any linkage. This was a little group with a little plan and a big blown-up building. And this just very specific. Let's be fair to Mr. Hussein. Hey, I hate to tell you, I don't want to break the news. I know there's a lot of people going to be shocked. His two kids just got turned into Swiss cheese yesterday. Would you like us to revive them and put them back? Or what do you want us to do? Somebody mistakenly shot him. Anyway, getting back to the United States, where we solve our problems with weapons. That's what we do around here. We solve our problems with a gun. This guy, a political rival, said, well, if you don't agree with me, you know, Lenin, Vladimir Lenin, who was the founder of the Bolshevik state, otherwise known as the Soviet Union, and of course later became Russia, which the Soviet Union didn't work out too good. Lenin said the following. He said, yes, I believe you have the freedom to say what you want to say, and I have the freedom to shoot you for it. That's what we believe in America. This gun violence will continue. We're getting used to it. We're settling into a comfortable cooperation with it. Every now and again, a kid will get shot up in a classroom. Every now and again, a teacher will get raped as she's walking in from her car with her study materials. Every now and again, a school administrator will get plugged in his office by an outraged parent. And every now and again, a guy will wander onto a playground with an automatic weapon and just start spraying bullets. But you know what? As long as it doesn't hurt you or me, it's fine. I got no problem with you. I say let bygones be bygones. That's somebody else's problem, and I don't know what to do about it. And Kobe, I'm worried about Kobe. I need another championship for the Lakers. That's what I got to have. I care about Phil Jackson. I care about Kobe. Mitch Kupchak's disappointed. And there's all kinds of things that we need to worry about. Why do I need to worry about another guy walking into a public building where a man tried to do his public service, a politician, which, by the way, let me say this and say this as gently as I can. The American people are responsible for this man's murder today. And I'll tell you why. Politicians are reviled so heavily in this country, reviled so heavily, that even joking about murdering them is funny to a lot of people. They're considered dishonest. They're considered corrupt. There isn't a human being you talk to who doesn't feel higher than a politician. They're the lowest scum on earth, according to a lot of people, and yet these are people that, patriotically or otherwise, go to try to serve their country or their city or their district. I don't see anybody else doing it. So the attitude is fostered that politicians are just the lowest piece of crap on earth, and that it's even okay to go kill them. So I don't just blame this guy. I blame the entire American climate. I blame the American people. I blame every guy that ever made a joke about a politician and then turns around and worries about Kobe Bryant, Michael Pittman, Simeon Rice, or some other piece of garbage that runs around with a football. You want to worry about Kobe, huh? And then you turn around and you're bagging on Clinton. Which, by the way, Rush Limbaugh's losing his mind. And I'm going to tell you why when we come back here in just a moment. And we will accept phone calls for maybe about an hour and about an hour and 45 minutes we're going to be accepting phone calls. So our number is 1-800-449-8686. I hope I covered everything. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. I got a couple of contests to tell you about that we're going to be running as well. Go to our webpage, www.philhenryshow.com. We've got an R.C. Collins contest that we're running that could mean a free 2002 CD. And we've also got a form letter that you can send to your local wonderful sports star, okay? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, I heard Matt Drudge this morning say that this movie, The Passion, Mel Gibson's film, is great. I heard Matt on the Handle Show this morning, and he said this thing is great. He said that it is a tremendous movie, seriously. And it spreads the blame around pretty good for what happened to Jesus Christ. The Romans, the Jews, everybody gets it good and even. Now, apparently, it is a violent film. It is a movie. If you haven't heard about this movie, The Passion, it's supposed about the last 12 hours in the life of Jesus Christ. It includes long and brutal torture scenes. According to Matt, the blood is all over the screen. The blood is all over the seats. The blood's all over the aisles. The blood's going to be in the parking lot on your way out. He said it's very bloody, but he said it's very powerful. And I know that I bagged on this flick earlier because I thought it was Mel Gibson playing with himself. And frankly, I kind of still think it is. But if he made a good movie, he made a good movie. It's just that I'm not a fan of Mel Gibson's movies. I know that that's just a horrible thing to say, but I'm sorry. I just wasn't into what women want. I know that it probably shocks a lot of you and, conspiracy theory, what an ass-kicking movie that was. I just, my taste must have been in my rear end that day. I just couldn't take it. Everybody brings up Mad Max. Okay, yeah, great, fine, Mad Max. God, I've seen it 180 times, and Tina Turner, and the whole thing. Braveheart, sorry, it's, I didn't like it. Patriot, supposedly that was a true story, right? Except he had to do what they do in Hollywood and make the guy a good guy. The guy he was portraying was a slave owner and a bigot. I don't know why they had to change it. Whatever. I'm getting sick and tired of Hollywood making history the way they want to make history. However, in this case, I've never seen this story done quite this way, where they actually show the torture of Jesus Christ, if whatever they alleged happened, okay? You understand that this is a story somebody wrote. Who knows if it ever really happened or not? However, I got a better movie for you to make, Mel, if you ever get around to it, and I know you're a very devout Catholic, so I'm sure you're extremely concerned with the fact that at last count, what is it, Janice? 1,000 people were molested in the Boston Diocese by Catholic priests. So if you get around to that one, that ought to be good. And I think you should show graphically the horrible torture that a child goes through at the hands of a priest. What do you think about that? That'd be, nobody go see the movie because nobody can stand that kind of truth. But I'd go, I'll pay my money. You're talking about Jesus going through all that torture. Why don't we talk about the hellish torture that children go through at the hands of priests, who supposedly represent Jesus. Am I right about that? Ain't that what a priest is? Or is that just the Pope? I'm a Catholic, and I don't know. I was raised Catholic, and I still consider myself to be a Catholic. See, being a Catholic, it's a membership you never give up. Just you pull it out when you need it. Oh, are you Catholic? As a matter of fact, I am, yeah. And I can quote a couple of things. Woo-hoo, hey. I even went to a Latin Mass once. And then when somebody says to me, do you reject Christianity, and I'm in the right atmosphere, it's a bohemian cafe, cigarettes are being passed around, clove cigarettes are being lit, and somebody is rambling some poetry, then I can say I'm Buddhist. I'm down with Zen, I'm with Zen, and that kind of thing, But for our purposes today, I'm a Catholic, and the whole thing sucks. Anyway, I want to go see your movie, Mel. I will see it, and I'm sorry. I did prejudge it. I thought it was anti-Semitic. Apparently, it's anti-Italian. I'm kidding. It's just everything. Just remember, as they like to say,
Jesus was a Jew, too.
Christians, they can't, you know, they just... Well, yeah, but he wasn't really... What do you mean he wasn't really? Well, yeah, okay, he was a Jew, but he rapidly changed, you know. Nose got smaller. Everything over the course of his life. Okay. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show. And one other item that I want to repeat in case you just joined the show. We made the point at the top of the show, and it needs to be repeated over and over and over again. And then we'll get back to our basketball stories, don't worry, including some high school kid who's got cornrows and feels he has the constitutional right to wear those. And that's just great, man. By the way, have I said this lately? Anybody that wears cornrows, man, if you want to put the slave South behind you, the last thing you want to do is wear cornrows, man, because you look just like buckwheat. What is it with cornrows when people are trying to, you know, update the image and move the African-American into the mainstream? And the next thing, I'm looking at some cat who looks like Alfalfa, or, you know, or what was that other black guy? Buckwheat and who? Cornrow, wasn't that his name? I mean, you put that stuff on, so this kid wants to wear corn. Hey, it's a fashion statement, I understand. You have every right in the world to wear them if you're an adult. This guy's in high school. Got a news flash for you, baby. You're a high school student, you do what the coach says to do. You're a part of a team. You're not Allen Iverson. You're not that new kid, that James kid. You ain't that Garnett kid, and you sure as hell ain't Kobe, okay? You ain't Michael Jordan. You're on a team. You're a high school kid. You don't spike the ball. You ain't doing the spinning slam dunk. You ain't doing the in your face Smith, Dr. Naismith of the Chocolate Thunder, okay? So just play on the team and grow your hair to a reasonable length. And if it gets a little brillowy, I don't know what to tell you. 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. phs@philhenryshow.com. Steve, hi.
Hey Phil, I'm wearing my Ted's bowling shirt and the
beautiful, beautiful
Salt Lake. It's a beautiful shirt. Hey, I wanted to call about the gun violence thing. You know, just here in Salt Lake City, just heard the other day on the news, the local children's hospital talked about 18 kids in the hospital nearly dead from guns. 2 killed just this summer.
So oh, what?
I'm sorry,
so
that
what?
Was.
So
I'm
what?
Sorry, that was pools.
Well,
I'm
but who cares?
Pool.
You mean
that was pool drownings?
Pool drownings?
Yeah, my bad.
The bastards?
No, yeah,
that ain't
I'm
bad.
Making the point.
I think we ought to take every... I don't know what point it is you're making, but thanks for calling. Get out of here and send back that Ted's of Beverly Hills shirt. Here is Jim. Hello, Jim.
Jim? Hey, Phil.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Hey, great. Any chance we can hear some of your old stuff from the Miami days?
No. But I got new stuff from the new days. As a matter of fact, we're going to take a walk down memory lane later on today with that piece, Janice. What's that from? We had Lloyd Bonafide doing his Elvis Hitch kick. You won't want to miss that. So there you go, folks. That concludes the phone call portion of our program. Some guy with a pool drowning and another guy wanting to hear some Miami material. No, if you missed my Miami show, then you missed it. And if you don't like the material we're doing now, then I respectfully suggest that you buy a gun and do the honorable thing. Just go right out into a field someplace. Any chance we can hear your material from the Miami days? Well, again, this much is true. A, no. B, I ain't never going to go back to Miami to do it again. So I guess the answer is no, no, and no. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
No kidding. People don't understand what I'm talking about. A kid was not allowed to wear his cornrows in school because that was a violation of a team rule. And then the kid was suing. And then the court said, well, sorry, kid, the school does have the right to address matters of dress and matters of personal grooming. However, the court felt it was a bad rule and arguments like that. Do you know, if you're an African-American, I'm speaking now as a white man, like most talk show hosts do, of course, white men. Do you know how basketball mocks the black man and African-American culture? It is a mockery. It's a mockery. Football, baseball, basketball mocks the African-American. It is not any longer a way out. It's not any longer a ticket out. It's not any longer a way to pull yourself up out of the bad conditions, the you know, whatever the hell, the projects that you came out of, the ghetto that you came out of, the bad background that you came out of. It is more mockery than anything else, because in point of fact, every time the rest of society sees a black guy in sneakers with a basketball, they say he's right where he belongs. Now that I'm comfortable with. That's an image that we're comfortable with. Black guy holding a ball. Black guy in a suit. Black guy with a stethoscope. Black guy sitting at a microscope. Black guy doing anything else is very odd and very strange, and as to society in general, and I suppose I'm saying even to other African Americans, very uncomfortable to see. But basketball, that's right where America wants you to be. And if I was the administrator of any school that was primarily African-American, let's say Howard, Brown, Grambling, I'd eliminate athletics altogether. You think I'm serious? I would eliminate intra-school athletics altogether. I would keep intramural. If they wanted to have athletic events among the students, that'd be one thing. I would eliminate athletics altogether. And I would make the statement of the student body, today is the day. Today's the day. You know what today is, don't you? And they'd all be looking at me going, no, Mr. Hendry, what's today? It's the day. And then I'd have to check my notes. No, it's the day that we've decided that we're no longer going to be a bunch of black guys who go to a college, but really we're learning how to play football. We're going to be an actual school here. We're going to be a school. We're going to learn science, we're going to learn math, we'll learn history, we'll learn literature, and we won't have any basketball team. And we won't have a football team, and we won't have a baseball team. As a matter of fact, today is the day that we have liberated the African-American man and woman from athletics altogether. What are you talking about, Phil? This is a great living. It's a great living for 1,600 guys. That's who it's a great living for. Do you understand what I'm talking about? How many guys are in the NFL, Mark? There's 45, 50 guys a team. That's 30 guys times 3 is 5. 15, 16, 1,700 guys. Am I right? You can't even add. You don't even know what the hell I'm talking about. 1,600 guys. That's who it's a great living for. Who the hell else does it help? How many guys in the NBA? 13 guys a team. How many NBA teams are there? Like 183 million NBA teams? 30 times. Anybody do any math? What's 30 times or 13 times... 30, let's say. It's about, say, what is it, 500, maybe? 390, 400 players. All right, let's add that onto the 1,600 to play in the NFL. And that's not all black guys. That's just all of them. So that's 2,000, but let's say 75% are African Americans. So let's say it's about 1,500, right? And then baseball. You got a roster of, I believe it's, you have 21, 22 guys on a baseball roster. Let's multiply that by 30. What do you got? 500? Now, say three quarters of that is African-American. So what did I say, 1,500? Say about 300 are African-American? Did I say, am I adding that right? That can't possibly be. Who's doing the math around here? Are you? What's 13, what's 20 times 30? 500. So now you got 1,800, right? 2,000. Let's say tops 2,000 jobs for black athletes. to be professionals in the United States of America. If you're still following me after all of that idiotic math exercise, I my hat's off to you, because I don't even know what the hell it is I'm saying. But the point is, out of I don't know how many human beings on this planet, when someone says to me, well, it's a good way out of the ghetto, it's a good way out of the projects, these young kids, they can fight their way out, play pro basketball, it's a dream. It's a dream. It's a dream. You got that right. It's a dream. Dream on. I hope you wake up, because, Charlie, there's, a, like we said, about 2,000 gigs and that's it. 2,000 jobs and that's it. And more and more and more, I am telling you, it's not the fault of African Americans in this country, but it is the fact, more and more and more, basketball, football, baseball, all of those things mock black people in this country. It is a mockery. And by the way, your odds are better winning the lottery. And if you think you're going to get a gig on a professional basketball team, just buy a lottery ticket, because that's about how likely it's going to be. So all this stuff is like coming together in my head. You know, this kid with his cornrows and this and that. He's going to stay. You know, I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to express myself. Why don't you find another way of expressing yourself? Because I get the letters, I get the emails. I got some really dumb white people listening to this show, and then, well, you know, I mean, they're all over, but I got my share. And time and again, it's the same thing about the stereotype. The black is better athlete. The black is better. He's got bigger thighs, bigger ass, this and that. Stupidest people you ever in your life would ever want to meet. Just the dumbest human beings will write emails to this show. And I say to myself, well, look, I'm not going to convince them. They're dumb. They're always going to be dumb. But there's some people I could talk to, and that's the black folks, to say, look, I may not know African-American culture intimately, but I do know it from this side of the table. And I'm telling you right now, it is a mockery of black people in this country that you're so heavily identified with athletics. It's a mockery, because it absolutely disregards any ability intellectually. It is a basic spot. It's a basic place. It's the shelf that you occupy in our perception, in your own perception, in fact. Sports. Now, when we're talking about being an astronaut, well, you better leave that to the white guys, okay? When we're talking about being a banker, an international financier, well, leave that to the white man. Now, you and I both, we know there are many African-American men in business in this country. In fact, if you saw the Clarence Thomas hearings 11 years ago, you saw one after the other of self-made millionaires, black millionaires in this country owning companies that were huge, and they didn't want you to know they owned them, because they didn't want you to know a black man owned them, because they knew this country too well. They figured if anybody knows that a black guy owns the company, they ain't going to shop with this company. I mean, these are smart men. But the perception is there, and the perception is even bought in the African-American community. Hey, man, play basketball. Play football. And then when a guy like Kobe Bryant comes along with his dumbass behavior, a guy like Michael Pittman comes along, some big stupid imbecile like a Simeon Rice opens his mouth, another dumb ass like that. Who's that guy? That's Smith, Darren Smith. Now I'm seeing it. Warren Sapp's got babies in 16 different towns. All of that stuff filters down in the mind of the dumb white man to say, see, this is what the blacks do. The time is to break out and bust out. I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do, but believe me, you got to believe me. If you don't believe anything I ever say, believe this. The professional sports is now hurting the African American in this country. It is hurting you. It is hurting. It mocks you. It cripples you. It cripples image. It cripples perception. It doesn't help. It may put a few million dollars into Shaq O'Neal's pocket. It might put a few million into Allen Iverson's pocket. It only cripples everybody else's ability to see fairly, 15, 20, 30 million Americans. So, man, let the air out of that basketball. Take the hoop down. I'm almost happy my kids aren't very coordinated. I got one son now that's playing football. My other kid quit. Do I care? Hell no. Do I give a crap? I couldn't care less. I got to tell you, man, I see these parents at my high school. It's out of control. I mean, it is out of control. where my kids go to high school, some of these parents, they got their kids on a varsity football team. If I was the coach, I'd take a baseball bat to them. I'd get fired, but I mean, it would feel good. They think it's the beginning and the end and everything in between that their kid plays football. Like their kid's going to go on and become another whoever the hell. Brad Johnson. I'm only kidding, all you folks in Tampa Bay. Well, he won the Super Bowl. Can't be that bad. Like their kid's going to be the next Rich Gannon. Your kids have got about as much chance of being Rich Gannon as I got of growing hair. You know it and I know it. And the same thing goes for you, whether you're black or white. Your kid ain't going to be playing no pro ball anytime soon. So get the sneakers off of him, get the ball out of his hand, stick him in front of a freaking computer screen, and help him learn something. Because I'm telling you right now, as sure as I got up this morning, white folks are comfortable seeing black people dribbling basketballs. That's an image that we are completely used to. I say shake it up. If I were you, I'd shake it up. I'd shock them. But that's just if I were you. I'm white, so I don't have to be you. See? Now we're going to talk about Uday Hussein and what a terrible loss that is. Also more on Kobe. Of course, we can't let Kobe go. We'll never let Kobe go. As you know, the name of the woman that he is alleged to have raped has been made public by a desperate, desperate talk show host who has about as much originality as, you know, as a puddle of puke on the bathroom floor of an ABC liquor lounge. That's about how original this guy is. He's just so desperate. I mean, that's what he's doing. And we'll talk about other things as well, including that Mel Gibson flick. 1-800-449-8686. Later on, Vernon Dozier. Head coach Vernon Dozier will be here to talk about Uday Hussein. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now from yesterday's show, we have with us Bob Bakian, who was a PR representative, saying that it was better for Vanessa Bryant to just let bygones be bygones. Don't mess with Kobe's head on this thing, because it could mean the season. It could mean the end of the season. And after all, you know, this guy is a luxury box owner, so if he doesn't have that, then he doesn't have any business. Anyway, here's Bob Bakian with his bullcrap about Kobe.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
My dear sir, I am appalled at the preposterous position you're taking, your very selfish, egocentric point of view. Vanessa is a woman. You talk about the heart of Phil Jackson. Her heart has been broken.
I understand that.
Pain.
I understand that.
Here's my point. I've listened to you
the
whole time.
Go right ahead.
She's just had a baby. And you're saying the solution is for her to have a baby, give her body up again, just so she can make Kobe happy. Kobe has broken her heart. She has acted like a complete lady. She has stood by him. She's been holding his hand. She has been... She has been his partner.
Yes, I don't disagree with that.
And why you would put the responsibility of her position?
Because you know, Loren.
I haven't finished my point because you spoke about Phil Jackson.
She'll kill Phil Jackson. Phil,
no.
She'll
murder
him.
No. That's criminal for what you for.
Well, you know she can't
express that. Phil Jackson. You talk about another championship. Phil Jackson, it's not his first champion that he's chasing. He has had a number of championships, not only with this team, but also when he was with Boston, was it?
It was Milwaukee Bucks.
Phil Jackson, everybody's responsible for their own health and their lifestyle and their dietary habits and what they do with their body.
Oh, no, you can't
she is not responsible
Phil.
For
Phil
him being
this.
In the hospital.
He needs this. He needs this before he goes out. We don't know how much longer he's got.
He's a man who has achieved. He's achieved everything. Vanessa has not responsible for
absolutely.
His
I don't
pain.
Blame Vanessa. I am saying she holds the key, though, if she just won't nag him. Look. What if she comes
she
down?
She is
look,
supporting
look,
him. She is giving him
ask you
love
a question.
And
what
affection.
What if she comes down with some STD as the result of this? she will be tempted to be angry at him. I'm saying hold off.
Wait a second.
And
if you're
throwing...
telling me the guy comes, she comes down with an STD as the result of this liaison with this woman?
Yes. I'm just asking her to be quiet. Don't be a pain in the, you know, in the ass. Excuse
She's
my language.
Not being a pain. She's being a perfect lady.
Well, she is
and when you
lady.
Talk about these women throwing
lady.
Themselves at the ball player,
lady.
And you stop short
She's
of throwing
rip
them,
the shunt
you
right
say
out
this
of Phil
white
Jackson's
stuff.
Arm.
This is white trash that's being thrown at these ball players who hang around the locker room.
Well, that's what the black guys like, though.
And it doesn't matter what they like. The women who would dare to put themselves and throw themselves
right.
at—that's trash in my vocabulary.
Well, I think you're being a little judgmental. This is a sweet young girl.
Wait a minute. A minute ago she was white stuff, and now she's a sweet young girl.
Look, Phil Jackson's sleeping with Jeannie Buss, the daughter of the owner of the Lakers. If he dies in Jeannie Buss's bed, guess what? Vanessa has that on her conscience.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Right, man. Vanessa, if you hassle Kobe and it costs us the season, you might as well just rip that shunt right out of Phil's arm, man. Heart attack number two. Here's Mark. Hi, Mark. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Yes, sir. Good.
All right, man. So what you think? I wanted to comment about your opinion regarding African-Americans, blacks, however you refer to them, as far as with the basketball, you think that's kind of chasing dreams and a pipe dream for them to pursue that.
Right.
I kind of agree with you, and I told you just a little bit about myself. My name is Mark, and I'm an attorney. And I think that initially I thought, hey, maybe I might want to play basketball, but I stopped growing. You know, that was reality for me, but this is where we are.
Basketball. The dreams, Michael Jordan. These are not real. This is a dead end. It's a dead end.
All right, let me give you something to put it in context for you to help you understand a little better. Now, me personally, and this isn't, you can't say this for everyone, generally black guys, but, you know, I grew up with some kind of twisted ideas and values and things that I wanted. Realizing that, you know, I wanted to have lots of girls and lots of money. So things that it looked like I could have right away, those were the things that appealed to me. However, after you realize, and you got to understand this, I had a good family. I'm from a Catholic family. You know,
that don't necessarily mean a good family.
Well, not necessarily, but, you know.
Were you fondled?
Like I have a lot of good people that cared about me.
Were you molested at all, or?
Excuse me? No.
All right. Do you have white priests or black priests?
All right. Stay with me, though.
No, I can't stay with you. I got 40 seconds.
All right, here we go. I just think that it's important that people realize that, you know, the chances you make it to the league are really slim.
Right.
And you have to do something other than hope that, you know, a miracle is going to happen.
Yeah, but the fact is that the sport of basketball and football, they shouldn't even be playing it on black campuses anymore. They should eliminate athletics altogether from black universities because the stereotype is so ingrained and so deep in the consciousness of greater America that it is a mockery to African Americans. They should get rid of athletics altogether. It's a joke. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
You know, Rush Limbaugh is a talk show host, and I'm sure most of you know who he is. And I was listening to him this morning. I was driving over, and I was doing a cartoon today, because that's what I do for my, you know, I make extra money doing a cartoon voice. And I'm telling you, he's losing his, I have to put this as honestly as I can and as gently, I think he's losing his mind. I think he's coming unraveled. I honest to God. Let me tell you why I say that. And I use him as an example because he is typical of a consciousness right now among these guys that like to call them conservatives. They call themselves conservatives. They think they're sort of, infallible. I mean, it's amusing. Oh, yeah. Who's this Ann Coulter? You seen her? Oh, now she's saying Joe McCarthy. He had it all right, man. Joe McCarthy, everything he said was right. There were commies. Even when he said Edward R. Murrow was a communist, he was right. You know, I mean, Joseph McCarthy, for you younger people, was a United States senator who believed that there were communists within the State Department directing American policy, that there was active communist activity in the United States government. He accused three people in particular, one of whom was a man by the name of John Service. These people were never charged with any crime. He also accused one man of perjuring himself. No charges were ever brought. And in general, while it is true what Ms. Calder says, that nobody's reputation was destroyed, so everything's okay, frankly, I still think you got a right to get angry. If somebody comes up, nails you in the genitals with a lead-lined boot, you double up in pain, and you somehow make it through the rest of the day, I still think you have a right to get angry about it. So you see, Ms. Calder, just because I survived it doesn't mean I ain't forgotten it. Anyway, most of you don't even know who the hell she is, but you do know who Rush Limbaugh is. Now, today, I'm listening to this guy. Now, I don't know whether you know what happened yesterday, but the Hussein boys were iced by our great military. They were killed in a great operation in conjunction with the Kurdish people, and we killed two brutal pieces of garbage, and I say good riddance to bad rubbish. Former President Clinton, was quoted as congratulating President Bush. He said it was a job well done. He even went so far as to say, and as far as that intelligence on uranium in Africa goes, you know what? The president did say it was a British report, and sometimes you get things wrong when you're a president, even when you're a president. He backed President Bush up there. Now, I'm listening to Limbaugh today getting crazy over the fact that what he calls liberals, and I'm not even sure he knows himself what that is, the liberal media wasn't reporting the story right. See, you know, you ever heard this term, liberal media? That's what those guys, the conservatives, think is going on everywhere. Everywhere. And they hear it everywhere. So what he did was, he had his engineer, probably at a lot of personal hassle, string together some questions that were asked at the Pentagon yesterday concerning the operation against the Hussein brothers, and he used this as an example of liberal media bias. And when I heard the questions, they were like this. Do you have any DNA so you know that these are really the guys? Do we have any photographs of the bodies? In other words, they were sensible questions about that any reporter would ask. Any reporter would ask these questions. If you didn't ask the questions, you'd be fired. And Limbaugh thinks this was liberal media bias. I'm listening to this, and my jaw's hanging open. Then he plays the Clinton soundbite, where Clinton is saying, and I think graciously and honestly and with dignity like a former president, he's saying, good job. Good job on Hussein. Oh, no, that's got to be some kind of a conspiracy with this guy. That's another example. Rush, I'm going to say something to you right now, and I know people are overhearing this. I say this as a fellow broadcaster. I have nowhere near your success. Don't turn into a Father Coughlin. Now, everybody now wants to know, who's Father Coughlin? I'm going to tell you. Because Limbaugh, he's going to turn into one. Now, let me tell you who Father Coughlin was. He was a real guy, and he was a radio personality in America in the 30s. And this guy Coughlin was a priest in Detroit. And he was very, very opinionated politically. Now, the 30s in America, you have to understand, were a very, very dark time. People were out of work. We were casting around for answers. Our country, it seemed, had lost its way. The business model for our country had seemed to have imploded. We had a president, President Roosevelt, who was introducing ideas that some people thought were too socialistic. And there were young people there were people attending Communist Party meetings. You want to know why? Because in those days, it might have been a viable option for a lot of people. They didn't know about Joseph Stalin. They didn't know about the Cold War. They didn't know about the Iron Curtain. And believe you me when I tell you this, me, Rush Limbaugh, George Bush, if we were back in the 1930s, we might have done the very same thing. So this, you know, hindsight being 2020, don't get up on your high horse, baby. Not this soon, all right? Especially with that kind of weight, you may break its back. I'm kidding, Rush. I know you've lost a lot of weight. All right, so Father Coughlin got on the radio in the 30s, and he talked about what are the answers for America. There were people who thought maybe the Nazis had an answer. Because the Nazis, this was before World War II, so nobody knew that they were going to kill Jews. Nobody knew that. Nobody knew anything. And I have to make a note now to my producer. This program, this call screening program, has gone down again. So I can't take any phone calls. And if it goes down again, I'm going to take this monitor and I'm going to throw it out this window, all right? And if engineering can't fix this thing permanently so that every 2 weeks I haven't got a call screening program, I don't know what I'm supposed to do or say. But, you know, I don't need phone calls, and I'm probably the only guy in America that can do a whole talk show without any phone calls. As a matter of fact, I'd rather not take any unless they're from very nice people like the lady that I got on hold right now and a couple of others. Anyway, this guy, Father Coughlin, gradually became more crazy and more hysterical. Gradually, he began to lash out at the U.S. banking system. Gradually, he began to get... Because, you see, when people tell you that you're the greatest thing since sliced bread and your crap doesn't stink, you start to believe it. And you start thinking you have more influence than you have. And you start to think that you can say that you are the only one with the answer. You're the only one with the answer, and believe me when I tell you that liberals are all evil, and conservative thinking is the only way to go, and that we've never, ever made a mistake in our lives, and we've only made right decisions, and this is the kind of insanity, and I'm listening to this today on the radio. Now, this guy Coughlin, Rush, he finally went over the edge. He started knocking Jewish bankers. Now, this is a Catholic priest, so you shouldn't be surprised. He started Jew this and Jew that, and gradually the American people started to just sort of tune it out. Until finally, he died sometime in the 50s, and nobody ever even heard of him. He totally lost his popularity, and the reason more than anything else is he got hysterical. He started sputtering and getting hysterical. Look, I know that the empowerment of being a so-called conservative these days with Bush, you know, especially with the failures of Clinton, I know you guys think that you are absolutely right in everything you say, every word, every act, every deed. In other words, you're God or you're Christ-like. I know it. And I know that you're sensible people. And you have the sensible answer. Well, guess what? No, you don't. No, you don't. This country makes it on a synthesis of ideas, okay? So, no, you don't have all the answers. When Clinton calls up and says, you know, congratulations to the president, you know, sometimes maybe he just means it. And the media yesterday asked questions that any responsible reporter would ask. And I'm telling you, I'm just going to say this to you, Rush, pull it back before you go over the edge, before you go over the waterfall of insanity. Pull it back, man. You're getting hyper and you're getting a little sputtery, and you, I bet you your computer screen is covered with spit at the end of your show, man. Just, I mean, what is it, the Daffy Limbaugh show? Rush Duck? All right, I forget this lady's name. Hi, ma'am. What is your name again? Ma'am?
Yes?
What is your name, dear?
This is the fifth time I'm telling you my name.
Yeah, well, I'm asking you your name for the fifth
Sharon.
Time.
Sharon.
Okay, Sharon.
Sharon.
You're on the air, Sharon. Are you getting mad at me now?
Yes, I am. I'm already pissed off.
All right, well, turn your radio down, okay, so you don't piss me off.
Down.
Now, language, all right?
I'm talking about people, black people.
Watch your language and start all over again.
He can't even equate math. He can't even equate math percentages on his own.
What?
He's looking for help. But he wants to put
so
down
why do you have to play basketball? Why do you got to play basketball?
Why not?
Because it's a because it mocks you.
White
it mocks you. The white man expects you to dribble the ball. You want to do what the white man tells you to do? Go ahead, go out and dribble the ball.
Man,
go dribble the ball.
Man,
go dribble the ball.
White man tells you to dribble the ball. You're telling us not to dribble that ball.
Yeah, that's right. I'm telling you, go out and do something. Go out and do something that white people don't expect you to do. Get into science. Get into math. And have some respect for your children and teach them how to swim, too, while we're on the topic. More black children die drowning than white kids. You know that? Do you read a paper? Do you read a newspaper, ma'am? Do you read a newspaper? Ma'am, can you read? Can you read?
Where do you come? You just
can you read?
Can you
read? Can you read? Do you know how to read? Do you know how to read? Ma'am, this was a news story yesterday. This was a news story yesterday. There was a news story yesterday that more African-American kids die from drowning than white kids, all right? Ma'am, you're talking over me because you're too ignorant to face the truth. You're too stupid to face the truth. That's why you're talking over me, all right? You are.
You
are.
You don't even want to
You got nothing. You didn't hear anything I said. I said that it was a news story.
Why you don't want to listen?
It was a news story. Excuse me, it was a news story yesterday. You don't want to hear that it was a news story, do you? You don't want to hear it was reported in the news, do you?
Why don't you want to listen to what I said.
It was reported in the news. You asked me a question. I'm answering it. It was reported in the news yesterday. It was reported in the news yesterday that African-American children die at a higher rate from drowning than white kids because, in part, their parents don't teach them to swim.
Oh, please.
Yeah, I know. Well, guess what? The truth hurts. Oh, piss off. You talk about an ignoramus. Anyway, not to address what that lady was saying, let me just repeat what I said last hour. Basketball, football, baseball mocks the African American. It is now a mockery because the assumed thinking is this. A, you have no other way of being successful, or B, you're better at sports anyway because you got big asses, big thighs, and you run faster because there's an article on the internet. Didn't you see it? I mean, we got more stupid people getting their information off the internet now. And notice I said it was a news story, not because black people don't know how to swim because they're heavier. There are cultural reasons why young black children are drowning. Their parents, in part, are not teaching them to swim because they don't think of it as a survival mechanism. They think of it as a sport. It is a survival mechanism. So I'm going to say it again. It's a mockery. And I'm getting sick and tired. First of all, I'm getting sick and tired of listening to stupid whiteys talking about criminal black athletes, because the whites are criminals too. But more importantly, and more than anything else, I'm frankly just tired of the elevation of the athlete in this society as something more special than what he really is. What he is a clown that dribbles a ball. And then he goes out into the world, rapes, cheats on his wife, steals, flashes a gun, and acts like a punk. And still in all, they are held up as so-called role models, especially in the African-American community. It's a disgrace. I'm sorry, it took a white guy to say it. And if I were seriously a black administrator at a college or high school, I'd eliminate athletics altogether, intramural or inter-school athletics, and get it back to scholastics. Get the focus and get the image and get the imprint back on scholastics. Academics. Meanwhile, out of Lake Buena Vista, Florida, Warren Sapp's wife is divorcing him, and not that this is part of the divorce, but did you know that Mr. Sapp has fathered two other children? He's got two kids by his present wife, but a year ago, a baby was born. Oh, he acknowledged a year ago, I should say, that he's the father of a two-year-old New Jersey girl. There's also another baby someplace around the country that's his, and this guy's just got all kinds of kids floating around out there. Now, what is that? Is that cool? I guess that's okay, huh? And I like Warren Sapp. Let me just say for the record, because I know a lot of people, they just want me to say it. Well, don't you respect their exploits? I think Warren Sapp's a guy that I like on the football field. He's a fantastic football player. Yeah, it upsets me, but you know what? It isn't going to keep me from saying it. You're acting like a slob, Warren. Your wife's probably getting out while the getting's good. What are you, some kind of a pig, you meathead? What do you mean you've got two other kids besides the ones you got with your wife? Where were you raised? In a freaking barn? But I tell you what, I got a gig for you, man. We'll take you to a high school so you can talk to the kids about making the right choices in life. What do you think about that? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, by the way, we do have tape of Limbaugh's ranting this morning on his show, and I don't know if you can pull that up. You got to hear this, because I would not bring it up were it not so shocking. I'm talking about Rush Limbaugh now, the talk show host who went nuts. He went nuts. And he's a great talent. There's no getting around. He didn't make any sense today. Can you roll edits on Cart 3? Chris, go ahead.
What of democracy as well as what of capitalism?
See? He's a goofball. Now, by the way, the woman who has accused Kobe Bryant of raping her And by the way, her name was announced today by some desperate talk show host. You know, these guys, man, find a freaking show, comb over, will you? Get a show, any show. I guess you have a show. You stole it from about six different guys. What a joke. Her mother has asked her friends, because the friends, they can't, they're falling all over themselves. They're talking to the Today Show. They're talking to the National Enquirer. They're talking to the local newspaper. They're talking to the big-time paper. All of these so-called friends are running to everybody and anybody to tell the story that they know, that they saw at a party, and she's got bruises, and she said this, and she said that. And the mother has said, would you kindly shut the freaking pie hole under your freaking nose? Shut up. Or, in the words of the guard in Clockwork Orange, shut your filthy sewer. Remember the guard in Clockwork Orange? Shut your filthy hole, you scum, I believe was the way he put it, and I couldn't put it better myself. Shut your filthy hole, you scum. You know, it's a nice thing being famous, girls. Just shut up, okay? Find another way of getting your name in a newspaper. I tell you what, why don't you go out and sleep with a basketball star or get raped by him or whatever the hell else it is that you get your kicks over there with? Because apparently you're living vicariously through your poor friend who, you know, something happened to her. Nobody wants to believe her because, after all, Kobe's the man and we got a championship that we got to wrap up. And I love what that Bob Bakian said yesterday. If Kobe don't play this year, Phil Jackson's going to have another freaking heart attack. Kobe, you don't get in that lineup this year, you might as well tear the shunt right out of Phil Jackson's arm. Because if you don't play basketball this year, Jackson is going to just face first right onto the hardwood. Right on the... You want to see that happen? Don't you people in Colorado know what's at stake? Don't you young girls there in Eagle, Colorado know what's at stake? If Kobe doesn't play, Phil Jackson, he'll feel a little perspiration. He'll turn kind of white. He'll go, can I get some air? And then just pitch forward while grabbing his left arm. And then Mr. Bakian also said something that I think was so cruel. He said that Vanessa Bryant was playing hacky sack with Phil Jackson's heart. His beating, bloodied heart. And I heard what the guy said. Did you see Jackson's comments? Well, I stand by Kobe, and I can't believe it. He's always been a great guy. I know he cheats on his wife, but what's that between friends? I mean, he is in the NBA, after all. You don't expect a guy to stay loyal to his old lady, do you? No, of course not. You get to a point now where you feel like an idiot for bringing it up, don't you? I feel stupid that I'm loyal to my wife. Honest to God, I feel like I'm some kind of a freak. Warren Sapp's got 86 kids. Kobe Bryant sleeping around, and then the next day he's, I love my wife, blubbering like a freaking child. And then some other guy's got 14 kids, and another guy's raping this girl and that girl. And here I am, some schmuck, being faithful to my wife. I feel like a jackass. I feel like Phil Jackson looking at the headlines in the paper. I think I'm going to grab my left arm here. It's a Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
How do you ensure your kids are not downloading porn or going on to pornographic sites? Well, Ted Bell, the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, was on our show. By the way, we are selling his bowling shirt on our website. Ted says the way to do it is to get the password to your kid's computer. But how do you get that password when the kid won't give it to you? Ted's that kind of an idiot, and here's what a caller said to him.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Mr. Bell.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to say that you sound like a very intelligent man, and you care very much about your name and yourself. You don't care about your son.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for giving me the word from the top of the mountain.
Well,
am
you
I
know
speaking
what?
With God? Or, ma'am, I
you
love
know
my son.
I love my son
very much, ma'am. And I take
you
very good care
told
of my
all
son.
Of your restaurant for people that come to visit you over the air that you care more about what they order to drink than you do about your son.
No, I didn't. I said if
yes,
your child
you
has been
you
abducted,
said, computer away that the people are not going to come visit you in your restaurant because you're a bad father.
Well, that is, hey,
that is bull.
I take care of my family, and if they want to live,
you do. Your
if they want to live in a 10,000 square foot home,
a 44-year-old man for 6 years, and you take care of your family.
He won't give me the password.
You don't need the password.
Yes, you do.
Stand
to get
over
it.
Him, and you say spot check. And you ask him to sign on and move aside.
You
and
say,
you check where he's been.
You say what?
And then you ground him from the computer when he's been visiting with his boyfriend.
Wait a minute. You say spot check?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I guess that works in your house, ma'am. In my home, if I say spot check, my son gives me the middle finger. And he's,
well,
and
you
he's
know
entitled
what? My
to do that.
My son has respect for me because I'm a parent.
Hey, wait a second. Are you trying to tell me my son doesn't respect me? I've asked to intrude
How
on his privacy.
How many times has he called you an MF?
I have tried to intrude on his privacy. You have to understand he has every right to be angry.
Wait a second. I agree with this.
He doesn't have every right to tell his parent that.
Wait a minute, Karen. Are you trying to tell me that you walk in on your children and you say spot check and then they get out of the way and you get on
their
computer?
Number one,
I'm surprised your kids haven't called you an MF.
My son never had a problem like this. Because he knew he could. I was going to be a parent, not a buddy.
Ma'am, has your son ever called you the C word?
Absolutely not.
Well,
my son has never said the word shit in front of me.
Ma'am, watch your language. We can't have that on the air.
Okay. Well, he ought to call you the C word for butting into his life.
Wait a minute.
Well, my son is not in the
Wait a minute.
Yours is, and your son has not had a parent.
How do you know? How do you know what your son's doing? Do you know whether your son's got a boyfriend out there someplace?
My son is 27 years old, been married for a year and a half.
And lives at home.
Has a beautiful family.
And lives at home. Enough said.
No, he does not.
Well, then what do you mean spot check?
He has not lived at home since he was 19 years old.
Wait. What do you mean spot check?
When he was...
What are you talking about?
I tell him, okay, spot check. You said you know computers.
Your son?
You know how to go in and see where they've been.
Your son you do that to, who's 27.
No!
Where do they live in the basement?
Your son's age.
Wait a minute, that was 8 years ago. They didn't have personal computers then.
Oh, yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did. They
yes,
certainly
they did.
No, they did not have personal
okay.
computers.
Six
I'm talking
years
about
ago,
personal
your
computers.
Your son was having an affair with a 40-whatever-year-old and was at his apartment
not
when
eight.
You found him.
Not
they
8 years
ago. They had it then, didn't they?
Not 8 years ago. 6 years ago. Look, Karen, get ready for the C word if you keep up with those spot checks. I don't know who you think.
All right.
You need to learn to be a parent, sir.
Excuse me. Oh, thank you very much, Jesus. Where do I get my ticket punched so I get into heaven?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Yeah, that Ted's a real piece of work there. So remember, if you want to find out what your kids are doing, get that password. Otherwise, you're out of luck. Lewis, hello. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, Phil, I just call to say I've been listening to you for years, and I can't agree with you more. Basically, about the swimming, you know, I can't, hell, I'm a little nervous about this here.
No, you're all right. I can hear you fine. Why, is your phone crapping out?
No, my phone's not crapping out, but,
But you are? No, you're doing fine. Well, look, Lewis, let me lead you into it, all right? The article was a very good one because it endeavored and did successfully so to answer the question why we had more black children die from drowning last year than white children, and there is... According to researchers, there is an attitude among African American parents that it is a sport more than it is a survival skill. So swimming is not encouraged from an early age in the black community the way it is in the white. It has nothing to do with an inability to swim. It has to do with the teaching of swimming.
Exactly right. And you know what? But before I'm gonna preface this with, you know what, I always listen to you and I said, man, if I could ever get this guy, I'd just like to wring his neck. You know, but you're
Thank
right.
You.
You're right. But, and then my, because you remind me of my wife. You're always right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, I'm always right. Hell no, I ain't always right. I ain't always
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you're always right. You're right again. But it's like her. When I was, she always said, you know, got to teach the kids a swim, and they'll learn on their own. But then, you know, you see so many people, you know, especially, you know, sister, I was talking to this girl the other day. I'm serious. And she said, I don't know how to swim. I'm saying, girl, the water's rising. But if I have to, I'll learn how to swim. That's not the point. You need to know.
Hey, you got to know. I mean, for credit. And not only that, but swimming is a great recreation. It's a great way to stay in shape for the kids, you know. But it's a survival. You got to know how to. Do you know how to swim?
Of course I do.
Okay.
They threw me in the water, and I just started slapping.
That's what you do.
The thing is, Phil, you're so exactly right. They need to teach the kids how to swim. And so many people do not do that, especially in the African-American community, exactly like you're saying.
Let me ask you something else.
Thank you.
Let me ask
yes,
you something else, because there was another thing. Is there something with black folks they don't want to get their hair wet? Have you heard that?
Oh, hell no.
Well, what the hell is that? That's what they said. There's also
don't
a thing.
Don't dog me out because my partners, the truck driver's friends, are listening to me. So don't
I swear to God. Am I right, Janice? Janice, get it? The guy said that they don't want to get their hair wet. I swear to God, it was right in the thing.
Okay.
But anyway, you got to teach the kids how to swim. And the other thing, in my opinion, I just really feel that sports has now become a negative for African-American young people who want to, you know, get out into the world and become a part of a larger piece of the economic food chain, shall we say, than just dribbling a ball or running with a football. I mean, I think it's turned into a negative. Because
I have a son that is starting school this year. Matter of fact, he's going to his Division I football this year, and I have another son who. If this guy is going to make Division I, my youngest son should make, just unbelievable.
Yeah, but that ain't going to pay the bills. I mean, what's the chance they're going to get into the NFL?
Well, that might be true, but we're talking about exceptional abilities.
Well, every parent thinks their kid's got exceptional ability. You know, I mean, right now I'm telling you, seriously, Lewis, this is just high school. But you ought to see some of these people. I know the head coach of my kid's school. We work out together like 3 mornings. I go over to the school gym and we're lifting weights and all that stuff because not that I'm a weightlifter, but I'm trying to lose some of this fat off my rear end. And, you know, I'm trying to look halfway like a human being. So anyway, I go over there and he's telling me these stories that are just hair curdling. The hair curling that people will say, well, you know, my kid is a Division I player, don't you? Your kid sucks. Your kid stinks. He ain't a Division I. I'm not saying you, Lewis. I'm just saying some of these parents, your kid ain't even a Division II, Division III. He couldn't play in Canada. What are you talking about? I mean, he's got this deluded parents, these people that ought to be, I mean, they need detox. They ought to be taken in and have whatever bug spray they've been huffing taken out of their system because they got to be on something to go in there and think, my son's a Division I. And then this other guy got pissed at him because he said, how come my kid wasn't signed by SC? How come he didn't get a letter of intent from the University of Southern California? He says, your kid ain't a University of Southern California football player. Oh, bull crap. My kid's fantastic. Your kid blows. Do you understand what that means? I wouldn't be a football coach at the high school level if they paid me in gold bullion. If they paid me in South African gold bars, I wouldn't do it. Because I'd wind up killing somebody, and that is the truth from me to you. The idiots, the utter idiots that you got to deal with who think their kid's the second coming of freaking Johnny Unitas is unreal. My kid ought to be, they think this kid is the next Tony Dorsett. Yeah, sure. Take a clue, man. Take a cigarette break. Get your kid to do something else other than football. I know. Here's a great idea. How about math? How about science? We're getting our asses kicked by the Asians. Kids coming over here from China and from Taiwan, beating the crap out of our own guys, getting jobs in the private sector in math and science. What the hell happened to Americans? I ain't talking about now Asian as in Asian American. I mean cats from China. You know, I mean, what are we doing, man? No. Tell you what I'm going to do. There's 2,000 possible jobs available in the United States in professional sports. I know my kid will get into that. Uh-huh. Oh, boy. I mean, it's just, it's sad. It's really sad. So stop it. Knock it off. Get rid of all of it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We got to talk about the Hussein boys. And Jennifer Flowers is going to sue Hillary Clinton because I guess Clinton said something bad about her. Not that Jennifer Flowers hasn't said bad stuff about the Clintons, like, you know, she was turned on to cocaine by Bill Clinton, which, of course, cats like, you know, well, Rush Limbaugh.
What of democracy?
Believe. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now it's time for our top movie lines ever. Once a week, we bring you great lines from movies down through the years. You see, a lot of people have these movie lines. For instance, they like, I'll be back, and all that baloney. Yeah, yeah, yes, 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 I'll be back. Enough. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, let me guess. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody. Yeah, okay. Would you stop? Let me tell you the great movie lines. Here's number one. Okay, cop. Left hand. Let's see the gun. My, that's a big one. Okay, what movie is that from? Dirty Harry. Okay, cop. Left hand. Let's see the gun. My, that's a big one. Here's another one. 63 Pontiac convertible. Bone white. Oxblood interior. Screwed up the engine in 68, if you ask me. That's David Keith and Brubaker. Moving on. What are you doing? Watch out. Get out of the way, hammerhead. Once again, Dirty Harry. Now, here's another one that everybody ought to know. If you want to pop that puppy's can, you don't have to grease him so hard. Why don't you go hump somebody else's leg, mutt face? That's right. Heartbreak Ridge. Another Eastwood. See, Eastwood movies are so quotable, it's disgusting. And, of course, my favorite of all time, you know, who can tell me why I can go anywhere I want? Reasonable suspicion. That's right. If I got reasonable suspicion, I can go anywhere because I got this gun, I got this badge, and I got the love of Jesus in my pretty green eyes. That's from The Gauntlet. All right. What movie is this from? Your ass looks like 150 pounds of chewed bubble gum. Full Metal Jacket. Another great line from Full Metal Jacket. You climb obstacles like old people screw. And then finally, probably my favorite, are you queer? No, sir. Bullcrap. I bet you could suck a golf ball through a garden hose. So, these are great lines. Not I'll be back. Then there's the ones that I kind of dig, like Chinatown, which, you know, it's an old movie, but in the scene Chinatown, Roman Polanski's in the movie. Whoa there, kitty cat. You a nosy fellow, huh, kitty cat? You know what happens to nosy fellas? No? Yes? You want to guess? No? Yes? They lose their noses. And that's when he cuts Jack Nicholson's nose. He puts the blade of the switchblade right into Nicholson's nose and then cuts it straight up. And here's a great one. Mr. Allison, I found this bottle. What do you think it is? Well, ma'am, I'll tell you. That there is sake. Heaven knows Mr. Allison. So those are our top movie lines for this week. And, oh, just one more from Dirty Harry. I'm Callahan. And then the guy says, my friends call me Alice, and I will take a dare. Well, Alice, when was the last time you were busted? All right. As opposed to this list put together by Chris, well, nobody's perfect from Some Like It Hot. What the hell is that? I don't understand. All right, our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com, phs@philhendryshow.com. And if you've gone to our website, you know we are running an R.C. Collins contest. And R.C. has asked, if you read the R.C. Collins diary, and you have to go to our website, you'll also find our email address on our website. Our website is www.philhendryshow.com. If you go to the website, you will see that we are running the R.C. Collins On a Stick or Not contest. Just click on, go to the R.C. Collins diary, and read what R.C. has to say this week, and he'll give you instructions on how to enter our contest. Basically, you have to tell R.C. whether he should go to Iraq and bring Hussein's head out on a stick, or go to work for his father in Northern California in the bottling plant. That's R.C.'s dilemma. He's at Bradley Military Academy. Should he go to Iraq and get Hussein's head on the end of his bayonet or go north to Northern California to work at his old man's bottling plant? And we've received a number of emails. This is the best one so far. This comes to us from Joe Westerberg out in Palm Springs, California. Dear RC, you ass pod, run to your dada and take the bottling gig. I understand you get your own private crapper. Picture attached. He sent us a picture of the toilet. Should you somehow fall through the cracks and make it into the U.S. military, you run a significant danger of having a fellow soldier put a bullet straight down through the top of your head. The slug would stand a good chance of making it to your groin. Your demise will be documented in a back page story about a U.S. soldier who suffered a freakish accident that prompted a closed coffin service. But if you take the bottling gig, don't expect to take over the business. Your dad's wife will get it all along before you do, and if she's anything like my stepmom, after your old man throws a seven, she'll have you out on your ass loading vending machines quicker than you can say, Mama. So either way, you're screwed. Joe Westerberg, Palm Springs. Beautiful Joe, you're in the lead. That's beautiful. Quicker than you can say, Mama. Hee-hee! Yeah, after your old man throws a seven. So that's the leading email in the R.C. Collins, should I go to Iraq and get Bin Laden's head on the end of my bayonet, or Hussein's for that matter, or take the bottling plant manager gig that my father has sent for him for. Now remember to send all of your submissions to R.C. Collins at PhilHenryShow.com. That's R.C. Collins at PhilHenryShow.com. And we will eventually select a winner. I don't know, we'll give it about 4 weeks. And the winner gets a free 2002 Phil Henry Show Best Of CD, world famous. And this is kind of a cool prize because it is a double CD set. All right, coming up, Vernon Dozier, head football coach at Belmar Academy, will weigh in on the Hussein brothers and how you communicate this to young people as an educator. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Coach Dozier is joining us. Go ahead, Coach. What are you saying? Coach? Go ahead and finish your thought.
Well, the Uday Hussein, this guy who was killed by our U.S. forces, and that's, by the way, my congratulations to them, is... I wish as a coach, as a high school coach at this level, that we could incorporate techniques that will motivate our young people. And don't get me wrong, I am glad that the United States military was able to kill this individual who was obviously very bad. But I think you have to understand what it is to be a coach and what it is to want your team to win.
Well, wait. We're talking about Uday Hussein, who was in charge of the athletics, among other things, the Olympic teams for Iraq. And he was a horrific man. He beat and tortured the athletes.
That is correct. And that's of course... But when you're coaching at the high school level, and we're talking about apples and oranges. I'm not talking about torturing anybody. What I'm talking about is a... desire to have these kids do their very best. You don't know what it's like to coach high school football. When it's good, it's very good. But oftentimes, and I heard you talking about the parents will be involved and they are not welcome sometimes to be involved, but I have to involve them because they make a big case about how they pay their tax dollars and all this. And then the students themselves may not be as talented as you want them to be. And I can understand the frustration that goes along sometimes with just wanting to just scream, just jump right out and just scream, oh my God, you know, this is a tough job.
But what has this got to do with Uday Hussein beating and torturing athletes?
All I'm saying is that for whatever his faults, it's obvious the man wanted to win and that losing frustrated him. And there are times that when you lose, you want to just wring some guy's neck, you really do.
So are you saying you understand Uday Hussein torturing athletes?
No, I'm not saying that at all, Phil. I think you're overreacting.
Well, all right, but you understand?
I understand Mr. Hussein, Uday Hussein's desire to win, that's all. And motivation is key. As I said, Phil, you don't know how difficult it is to motivate kids. I've been a high school coach for 25 years, and every year it gets tougher and tougher to try to get these kids motivated. When you have a parent, and I have talked to a lot of these parents, who will come down onto my field and will tell me how good they think their kid is. I'm the judge of how good their kid is. They aren't. And that's the way it should be, right?
But that is absolutely the way it should be. You're the coach.
That is correct. But these parents will come down and tell me, and I've been coaching football for over 30 years, at the high school, at the elementary level, I have some small college experience, and I got to listen to them. So when I see about this Uday Hussein that our military killed yesterday, that he tortured athletes, I say that is wrong, but there are times...
When you want to do that?
What I'm saying is, can I give you an example of what I'm talking about?
All right, let me give you our phone number first, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Coach Vernon Dozier of Belmar Academy. He's a varsity football coach. Where are you right now, Coach?
Phil, we're about on our field. We're having a passing scrimmage today. And I, so far, we're looking at some good prospects. But, again, we've got a lot of parents, so I thought I'd take a break and talk to you.
Okay, so you're at the school?
I'm on campus right now, yes, sir.
All right. We're talking with Coach Dozier about the Uday Hussein and Kusei Hussein. One of them was in charge of the Olympic teams, and he tortured the athletes. He beat the athletes. In some instances, he broke their bones. And it sounds to me like you're forgiving it.
No, I'm not forgiving it. Well, I want to give you an example, Phil.
You said you get so frustrated with the athletes.
I do get frustrated. Let me give you an example. I got done with practice 2 weeks ago, and I went out to my car to go home, and the kids were coming out of the locker room. And I lit myself a cigarette, and I sat there, and I took a couple of drags on it, and then I turned, and I saw our quarterback coming out of the locker room, and there's this old man picking him up. Now, these are the two guys that I was telling you about who are a pain in the you-know-what trying to tell me my job.
The quarterback and his father.
The quarterback and his father. In that instant... Considering all the trouble that they'd given me, when I saw the father, and this is the guy who has been bothering me about his kid, and I saw the son coming out of the locker room, and I had a lit cigarette, and there is a moment where you fantasize. You don't actually, you're not going to get out of your car and do it, but you fantasize. And at that moment, I fantasized putting the cigarette out on that kid's back. And why do I do that?
Jesus.
No, but wait, understand that I'm. My job is to coach these kids who I've got to... I mean, you don't know what I'm working with. Now, I don't... Now, why do I feel that way? I feel that way because I get frustrated and I want to win. And I want the kids to understand what I'm trying to teach them. And I want the parents to just sort of understand what I'm trying to say. And they just aren't... And I'm just saying that Uday Hussein, as horrible as he was to those athletes... He can act, if I use it right, he can act as an inspiration for the coaching profession, because the goal...
Oh, come on.
No, the goals are the same, Phil. I mean, get the best from it.
No, come on. Uday Hussein tortured...
No, but the goals are the same. I'm not saying that I agree with what he did. Please understand me. But the goals...
Well, what were the goals? So he wanted to win?
Yeah, he wanted to win, and he wanted the best out of his athletes, and he broke bones? Yes, he did. He tortured? Yes, he did. Was it wrong? Yes, it was. Did I fantasize about butting a cigarette on that kid's back? Yes, I did. Do I feel bad about it? Okay.
Do you?
I think it's a toss-up.
Does that not disturb you that you're sitting in your car so frustrated with the play of one of your players that you fantasize putting a cigarette out on his skin?
I'm saying to you that it shows that I'm motivated to win. All right? And for you to twist that to say I believe in torturing students, let me tell you what. If I did, what a lot of times will come into my mind, and there are times when I may not think things that are the right things to think, and those are the times, when I'll just take a deep breath, and I'll say, I know I'm not thinking healthy thoughts. But let me tell you what, if I put that cigarette out on that kid, how many interceptions do you think he's going to throw the next game? And the next game, and the next game, and on and on and on.
Well, all right, if that's true, then how come the Iraqi national boxing team didn't win gold medals? How come?
Because I think he was in the stages of getting them motivated. He had just taken over the athletic program. You don't do it overnight, but you got to begin to motivate them.
So if Uday Hussein, whatever this guy's name is.
Uday
Hussein hung in there long enough, they would have won some championships.
I think he would have motivated people. Yes, sir, I do. But I'm not forgiving what he did. Please understand, I think he was a despicable human being. I'm just saying, you can be despicable, and you can also want to win. And boy, oh boy, when you stand on the sideline and you hear the parents behind you yelling and screaming and sounding so stupid that you want to put a cigarette out in one of their eyes.
But that's sick.
Now, I wouldn't do it, but I'm saying that's the fantasy. Man, mister, I'm telling you, all I want to do, I don't want to think bad thoughts, but I do want to win.
Sorry, so Coach, I want to give her phone number out again, and I want you to be clear. You don't really want to put a cigarette on in a kid.
No, I'm not, and I think I made that clear, Phil.
But you said you fantasize about this because that's that frustrating to be a coach.
Yes.
And in that regard, you understand Uday Hussein.
Only in that regard, yes. I understand how he wants to win, yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number of the Phil Hendry Show. A lot of you folks have kids in high school. You don't like parents butting into the coaching, do you?
No, I don't, and I don't allow it. I've had parents call me up and tell me, why is my kid playing? And, oh, boy. I mean, it doesn't take me very long before I tell them, you better butt out. There's the door. And just move toward the door. And everything's going to be okay. But I do not sit still for parents that butt in to my coaching. If these parents want to win, then maybe they should turn a blind eye when it comes to certain coaching techniques. Because, mister, I'm talking about a Division VIII championship, undefeated season, and I can achieve that by putting a little fire into these kids, and that means putting a cigarette on his hand or on his back.
You're kidding me.
No, of course, I'm not really going to do it, but I'm saying that's how much I want to win.
You want to win so bad you'd put a cigarette out in the eye of one of the parents.
That is how I feel, yes. Would I do it? No. Do I feel it? Yes. And that's what I'm trying to get you to understand.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Coaching. Did you think that coaching a high school football game would actually be relevant in the case of Uday Hussein? Well, he was in charge of the athletics of Iraq, and Coach Vernon Dozier, and there's some other coaches who feel the same way, want to motivate their kids. I heard Coach Dozier, though, he's walking a tightrope there, because once it sounds like he's endorsing him, then it sounds like he's not. He said, and I'm quoting him, "I don't endorse what Uday Hussein does, but I understand his desire to win." And that he, Coach Dozier, has fantasized sometimes about butting a cigarette on the back of his quarterback to try to motivate him. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Talking with Coach Vernon Dozier, who is a high school football coach. We're talking about the death of Uday Hussein, who was in charge of the Olympic program in Iraq. Would he have made a good coach?
I think it's an interesting question. I think that he was a brutal man. Uday Hussein, I understand, tortured the athletes, tortured them horribly. By the same token, I think that kind of motivation you can use on your staff. And what I'm saying is if
Uday Hussein came to you and asked for a job.
Well, I would turn him into the police, but if it's not.
But it was the same kind of guy.
I would say I could use an individual who motivates like that. See, in other words, Phil, when I talk about fantasizing about butting a cigarette on a kid's back or sticking something into one of their parents' eyes, I'm not doing it. And let me tell you something else. The Husseins murdered people. and tore their fingernails out. I'm thinking about butting a cigarette on somebody. And, brother, that's a whole different proposition. Parents want the kids to win just as much as I do, but they become all self-righteous about maybe if I pull a kid's hair, if you step on a kid's hand. And I can tell you stories.
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8666. I want to go to a phone call.
Yes, sir.
All right. Here is Craig. Go ahead, Craig. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Coach, I just wanted to say, you know, you've got a mental problem.
I don't know. Do you know anything about coaching? Do you know anything about coaching?
No, but I know about humanity and about parenting, and you don't know the first basis, to either.
Well, let me tell you this. I have to deal with parents all the time, they think their kid is the second coming of Jesus Christ, and I got news for them. They're not. And I got to tell them to get off my field, get the hell out of my grandstands, and get down to their car and get away from me, because otherwise they're going to mess up our practice.
No, Coach. You know, I mean, what you're telling them is if they, have any sense, they need to get away from you, because I don't think you're in control of your faculties. You can't even explain your situation without your breathing becoming very rapid. You have some real problems.
All right. Am I talking to, who is this, Dr. Schlesinger, or is this Dr. What TV show are you on? You see, because I don't think you know me. I know me.
But no, I'll tell you what, I have heard enough of your position to know that as a parent and as an American, you have no place teaching or coaching our children.
Well,
that's a frightening thought.
I don't doubt that, because you are a parent and you don't know anything. That's why you'd say that. And I'm the only head coach. I tell the parents to get the hell off my field, get out of my grandstand area, and go down to their cars. All right.
Well, sir?
Well, wait a minute. I got to jump in here. You're talking about butting a cigarette in a parent's eye.
That's what I think about doing. I don't do it. Do you understand the difference between that?
But I think crazy people have crazy thoughts, and you've proven that.
Oh, so now you're a member of the thought police. I think, Craig, and with all due respect, you're a father, and I respect that, but you can't start policing people for their thoughts. Otherwise, we live in communist Russia, Soviet Union. And we got rid of that a few years ago.
Well, all right. I'll tell you what, thinking the way that you think as far as coaching, maybe that's where you belong.
Now, I've already explained myself to you. And I'm going to ask the host to hang up on this son of a bitch right now.
All right, now hold on for a minute, okay?
I've already explained myself.
All right. Craig, thank you very much for your call.
I'm just trying to do what the parents want, and that's to have a winning team, and then they turn around and tell me they don't want it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You have to understand that when you entrust your child...
Are you going to start to tell me, Phil? See, understand that I've been coaching for 30 years. I know all about entrusting your child to my care. I've heard the speech time and again. I'll decide whether a kid's worthy of playing football. See, this is what...
The guy's right. You're breathing.
Because I have to talk to idiots. Now, I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it for the last time. With what I got to deal with what I have to deal with in my life as a football coach at the high school level, Uday Hussein would have been tested severely. And there are times that I fantasize about doing some of the stuff he did. I don't do it.
That's what we're saying is sick.
But I don't do it. I just fantasize about doing it.
Here's Marty. Marty, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How you doing?
Yes, sir.
I'm a truck driver passing through, and I was listening to your show, but I just had to weigh in here. Okay. Now, I am a coach. I'm 8, 9, 10-year-olds, and my team won third place. There's some kids that can. There's some kids that can't. But it's just a game. And I enjoy every one of my parents coming in.
Well, I got to tell you, you just said the magic words that set me off. It's just a game. Man, when someone says that to me, I got to tell you something, Coach. When someone says that to me, man, you can get the hell off my field.
Why? Just because I... It's a game.
Let me tell you something, Marty. There was a guy, maybe you heard about him. His name is Vince Lombardi.
Yeah.
And he said, winning isn't the only thing. It's everything. uh-huh. and you come into my field and you say winning's just a game, that's when I start thinking thoughts that are not healthy, maybe, but I think them nonetheless. And I think about getting me a pair of pliers.
I gotta
ask a question here, Coach. Are you serious?
Did you hear what he said? He said it's just a game.
Yeah, it's a game.
Well, he's coaching a smaller kid. You're coaching what, Marty? 8 through 11-year-old kids, right?
8, 9, 10.
All right, 8, 9, 10-year-old kid. You got the high school guys. Maybe it's a little more serious.
Let me tell you what. At the age of 8, I'll take a pair of pliers,
man. To an 8-year-old?
No, to what? Some parent comes down to me and says, my little 8-year-old boy, and Marty, you deal with the parents. Are you trying to tell me you like those?
All the time. Well, why can't my kid play second base?
Marty, what I'm asking is, are you telling me you like talking to those idiots when they come out of the grandstand? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I talk to every one of my parents, and I have 13 kids.
I'm going to tell you something. I would never do this, Marty. But when a parent comes down to me, and I don't care if they're the parent of an 8-year-old, and they tell me, why don't you play my kid? Why don't you run this play? Man, I think about bad things.
Do you have asthma?
Are you gonna start making jokes about the way I breathe,
no,
sir?
All right.
I understand that you're breathing heavy, so that makes me wonder about your mental
mentality. All right, hold on, Marty. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Coach Dozier's a high school coach, and he thinks maybe Uday Hussein wasn't so bad in terms of his motivation to win.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for...
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Talking with a high school football coach, Vernon Dozier, about athletics, and Uday Hussein, the son of Saddam Hussein, was executed by American forces yesterday, was in charge of the athletic program. And you have skirted the question, I think, Coach Dozier, and you have not answered it directly about admiring this man, this Uday Hussein, who is a torturer and a murderer. And I think before we get another phone call, I'm going to give you the opportunity to explain yourself.
Well, Phil, I have said about as often as I possibly can, I do not agree with the man's methods. I would never do what that man did. But I want to ask you a question.
Well, all right, but that's not really a...
Well, let me explain. I would never do this, but can I ask you a question? Let's say I was a sick, twisted individual. All right, now... Do you think a kid is going to step out of bounds, and I'm saying this figuratively, if I've got his mother and I've got a pair of pliers on her back molar, do you think he's going to step out of bounds, yes or no?
Mr. Dozier?
No, it's a yes or no question, Mr. Hendry.
You're asking me, do I think a kid's going to step out of bounds if what?
If I've got a pair of pliers locked onto his mother's back molar. All right, you see, that's what I'm saying.
Well, what are you saying? You're saying that...
I'm saying the kid would damn sure concentrate on catching that ball and keeping his feet in bounds if I had a pair of pliers on you know what I'm saying, a testicles or a back line, anything. A lit cigarette ready to just go right into a pet, if he loved a dog, if I had his pet dog, and I had a lit cigarette ready to go into its eye, God.
Okay. You sound as if you...
I sound as if I'd want to do it. I know exactly what you're thinking.
Yes, you do.
I am not saying that, and I would like you now, Mr. Hendry, I've said this about 5 times, to begin to respect my opinion and quit trying to put words in my mouth.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is Lonnie. Go ahead, Lonnie.
I think, Coach, you're a sick individual. I coach high school football, too.
Yes, sir, Coach.
Any man that wants to say that they'll take a cigarette and put it on the backside of a boy's back is a sick man needing mental health.
Well, wait a minute.
I don't know what kind of football program you coach, but I coach one that does not intimidate nor shows fear to kids, and my kids perform very well. We have won state championships. I coach a 4A ball team.
Now, wait a minute. You're telling me you win 4A state championships. Well, I'm in state.
Yes, sir. I don't coach that way.
I'm in the state of California. We got a southern division. We got a southern section. We got a northern section. I've won our league, which is the Raphael League in Southern California. We won 4 straight leagues. All right. Now, I'm over that period of time.
All right. Look, I'm not going to question anybody's.
If you're coaching that kind of mess, you need to go ahead and retire, buddy, because you need to go on over to Iraq and become one of Saddam's sons doing that kind of crap to kids.
Wait. Get a load of you. Now, you're telling me, huh? You're telling me.
Yeah, even fantasizing that kind of crap. You need to go on over there.
I didn't say I did it, did I? Look, I've been coaching.
You fantasize. What's the difference between fantasize? Most of the murders in this country is caused by some type of fantasy.
All right, let me ask you. I want an honest answer to this.
Okay.
You tell me. You give me an honest answer.
You're teaching. You don't need to coach.
Give me an honest answer to this question. Are you telling me that you would not appreciate an Uday Hussein walking the sideline with you?
No, sir, I wouldn't.
Oh, that is such a load of crap.
Wait a minute, man. First of all,
I'm a United States American.
Oh, it's as opposed to United States Canadian?
I don't put up with that kind of crap. I don't tolerate it. I won't have it. If my boys start fighting, they're off my ball team. I do not put up with that.
Tell me, pass interference wouldn't be a thing of the past if I had a bamboo shoot stuck right up a woman's...
What in the hell are you talking about?
You're a sick man. You need to
I'm a
out.
Sick man, huh?
Pass interference would be a thing of the past if you had a bamboo shoot stuck up a what?
You know what I said.
No. Well, you know something? I don't know if pass interference would be a thing of the past.
It would not.
It wouldn't. So the kid would risk having his
The kid is going to play as well as he
you're
can play.
You're a sick man. You need to go on over there and be with them guys over there because you deserve it. I think you need to be part of the family.
I think you would appreciate Uday Hussein.
If you knew him better. No, sir, I would not. Anybody that's going to intimidate or hurt people,
he's a rotten,
I got no respect for at all. And I got no the state of California would do themselves a favor if they got rid of you.
Coach, next year, the All-Stars High School of Florida and the All-Stars High School of California are going to play. You know what I want to do? I want to put together an All-Star game between North Carolina and California. And I'd like to coach that game.
Go right ahead, buddy.
I'd like to coach that game.
But I'm telling you what.
I'd like to be up against
you. If we were to do this and I knew for a fact that you were a coach, I would do whatever I could do according to the United States law to have your butt thrown in jail to even fantasize
So you're worried about me beating you?
To start with,
worried
fantasizing.
About me beating you.
All right.
Let me understand one thing. In the state of North Carolina, you wouldn't even be able to coach fantasizing like that with what you just said.
What can you fantasize
about? We don't allow idiots like you.
What are you allowed to fantasize about back there?
All right, never mind, guys. 1-800-449.
So you're a coach, and you can't tell me you haven't wanted to slice an earlobe off. What a lying piece of...
Come on, man. How can you put words into the guy's mouth like that?
Because he's a coach and he knows what I'm saying is true. You don't because you don't coach. Maybe your listeners don't because they don't coach. I'm a coach and that guy was a coach and he knows that there's a time and when you get frustrated, you want to take an ice pick and push it right into an ear.
Good Lord!
Well, I didn't say I was going to do it.
Here's Linda. Go ahead, Linda.
You know, you don't need to be a coach. All I can say is my granddaughter takes competitive gym, and, you know, I want her to win just as bad as anybody else. I want her to go out there and win. She made it to nationals last year, but her coaches listen to us. They take time to listen to the parents. And you know what? My granddaughter, those other little girls that are not as good as her, they deserve to compete just like she does because this is the United States. And if one of the coaches where we're from in Texas said that, I guarantee you they'd be strung up
now,
and hung up like you need to be.
I'm only talking about fantasizing about putting Icy Hot in a quarterback's jockstrap. I'm not doing it.
Putting Icy Hot in his jockstrap.
Doesn't matter. You fantasize about it, you would do it. You'd be one of them people walked in somewhere, disgruntled employee, and killed everybody.
Well, I bet you. Well, shut my mouth. I bet you Dr. Laura there.
Okay, don't make fun of the lady.
Well, she's pissed me off.
You're making fun of the woman, made a very good point.
Hey, as a coach, I recommend you get off cigarettes.
Did I get off cigarettes?
Yeah. Hey, ma'am, your daughter doesn't get a 10 score on the balance beam. I'd want to pinch the skin under your arm.
My daughter made it to nationals last year. I don't think so.
She made it
to
nationals.
And you know what? I didn't have to pinch her skin. All I had to do was cheer her on.
You're telling me that you don't motivate your daughter in any negative way?
Oh, no, I sure don't.
You know what I would do if I was a gymnastics coach? You know, it's a real good thing. You get one of the kids out in front of the other girls, you just take a piece of a finger off. Uh-huh. And the other kids will say, Jesus, I better play, be better at gymnastics, or I'll get a piece of my finger cut off.
That's what you do.
That's what I fantasize about doing.
I don't think so. They get better by the parents being behind them and the coaches being behind them and not having coaches like you.
Then how do you explain how Cherry Hill High School, Division 2B, won the Division 2B championship last year? How do you explain that after their coach?
I have no idea. Out of fear or out of stupidity, one or the other.
Their coach almost kicked their second string quarterback to death after a game that he lost.
Well, he ought to be fired and not have a job.
Almost kicked the second string quarterback to death.
Yes.
And he ought to be fired and not have a job, just like you.
I want to ask you a question, Linda. Are you single?
What's that?
Are you single?
Am I what?
Are you single, ma'am? Are you married?
Am I single? Oh, no, I'm not single. I'm married to a man that would slit your throat.
Because I could be a good man for you.
All right. I don't think so.
Okay.
A good coach would tear your arm hair.
I'm a good man. I don't think so.
You know what I'd like to do to you? I'd like to tear your arm hair off with duct tape.
Would you really? Well, don't, you don't want me to say on the radio what I'd like to do to you because I don't know what the laws are in Arkansas.
Go ahead. Say it on the radio. Say it. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I'd like to slit your throat. What I'd like to do.
Tell me what you'd want to do with my genitals,
though. And string you up
though.
Somewhere in a tree in Texas and just let you bleed to death with the dogs underneath you.
That's pussy stuff.
All right.
Oh, well, it'd get the job done. It
bores me to death.
All right, listen.
You know what you sound like to me with your good,
what's
bad,
that?
And your bad shoes?
What's
you
that?
Sound like a rube, a well-scrubbed hustling rube.
Really?
Good nutrition's given you length of bone, but you're not too far removed from poor white trash.
Well, I don't think so,
maybe.
And oh,
how the boys found you with all the sticky, tied fumblings in the back seats of cars.
I don't think so. I just don't
And all you could dream about, Linda, was getting out, getting anywhere,
I'm
getting all the way to the
end. White trash. Obviously, you know nothing about because you are white trash.
We'll be right back on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Okay, it's time to go into the mailbag, and then we're going to take a walk down memory lane. Hi, Phil. I totally understand what you're doing with taking on the professional athletes. When I was in college at a major conference football school, I had a firsthand account of the coddling these thugs get. My college roommate was a stringer for the AP and once asked a star linebacker what the mood was like on campus, and he replied, "I don't know. I haven't been on campus in weeks." A bunch of them also terrorized some other friends of mine, killing their dog. That's true. Signed, Andrew. So there you go. Some stinking college players killed a guy's dog. Here's from Sean. Separation of church and state is actually nowhere to be found in the Constitution. It was in some letters that Jefferson wrote later on, though. I know it ain't, man. It's in the first freaking amendment. And here's from Marie. Separation of church and state means that the state can't force people to join or sponsor a specific type of religion. Half the time, I wonder if your serious-sounding commentary is a joke, since you are too smart to get that one mixed up. Well, Marie, I'm sorry, baby, but you're too smart to get it mixed up. It says right here, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the exercise thereof. It's been interpreted by the Supreme Court to mean separation of church and state. Churches don't even pay taxes. Do me a favor, you guys. Just I won't ever bring up the Constitution again, because that is so, like... Ugh. No more emails, Janice, from those people. All right, now it's time for a walk down memory lane. Oh, yeah, and that's a letter. And this letter comes to us from Walter. I was recently in Las Vegas and saw a show called American Superstars. This is a show that features famous impersonators. As you would imagine, one of the featured stars was Elvis, and the song he did was Blue Suede Shoes. As soon as he broke into it, I immediately thought of Lloyd doing Elvis's trademark hitch kick and getting an empty cup thrown at him. If you wouldn't mind, could you please either do that bit again or even better, put it on the website. Thanks, Walter. Well, Walter, here it is, Lloyd, and the famous bit where some kid threw a cup at him after he did a hitch kick in his Elvis routine trying to raise money for veterans.
Personally, I think it is just sick that you would even think about hitting a child with a guitar.
Oh, so this kid's allowed to throw garbage at me.
He didn't even hit you, man.
He didn't hit you with the cup, and there wasn't any milkshake in it.
He didn't hit you, and it was empty, and he's a child.
He's a...
And you talk about disrespecting Elvis, you're doing that by trying to sing his music.
Oh, so, oh, I get it. So none of us are allowed to sing anymore.
At least sing it well. I mean, goodness.
Elvis Presley means
at
a
least,
lot.
You
How
know,
old are you? How old are you?
Me?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm 34.
All right. You weren't even born when Elvis Presley was doing Blue
Honey,
Suede Shoes.
Honey, I am one of the biggest Elvis fans you could ever meet.
All right. But Blue Suede Shoes has meaning to the Korean War generation because the line, get off of my blue suede shoes.
I know, means don't touch me, you chink commie or something.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Whatever it means is irrelevant. You're talking about a child.
I dare you to sing this better than me. Off of my shoe and don't...
Can we stick to the point?
Oh, please.
Yes, sir.
You need to cut
the
him
point,
off.
The point is here that this kid threw a cup that didn't have milkshake in it.
But if it had milkshake in it, the fluid could have hit the electrical cords and could have shorted and we might have been burned alive.
Well, you know, there's a lot of ifs in this world. We don't go around hitting children.
If my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle.
What's that?
Thank you.
I said if my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle.
I don't understand.
If my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle.
What has that got to do with what we're saying?
The lady said there's a lot of ifs.
The kid say he said he was trying to throw the cup in the trash and missed. And there was a trash can next to me, so he could have been right, but I think he's a liar. A cripple
well,
and a
I
liar.
I think you are just, you're nuts. You're absolutely nuts.
Get off of him!
You give veterans a bad name.
Ma'am, I'm the one who had his ass in the grass in Korea, not you.
That's a beautiful thing. What did you think of that? Rush Limbaugh's with us. What do you think, Rush?
What of democracy?
All right. Now, dig it, because on the line with us is, please tell Lloyd to hold on, because we want to get the music set up. Lloyd Bonafide is a Korean War veteran. He has joined us. Is it cut one, Janice? I guess it's the only cut on there? All right, and Lloyd is with us online from Alhambra. Lloyd, how are you?
Yes, sir.
And you heard the bit, and you insisted on calling, and...
Well, I you were playing me on the radio, and I think it is absolutely wrong to make me look like a fool.
We were just playing back the call.
Yeah, well, I would like to sing the song, because as I said to you, blue suede shoes to the Korean War veteran means, because the line is, honey, stay off of my blue suede shoes.
Yeah, I know.
The line means you can back it up across the 58th parallel, you stinking chink. Now
that is, it's racist, it's wrong.
Oh, it's racist, huh? Was it racist for me to shoot a Chinese guy when he was coming over? Yeah, I guess that was racist, too. And I was racist about 58 times. Now listen. One for the money. Get off of my shoe. Well, you can do anything, but get off of my shoe. Say shoe. You can rub me out, rub me out. Rub my crotch all over.
Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
Huh?
Wait, hold on for a minute.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
What do you mean, rub my crotch all over the place? What's the song, man?
I'm sorry, I got the lyrics wrong.
Yeah, uh-huh. Go ahead.
One, two, all right, 1, 2, 3, and go. Money, two for the show, three to get ready, go, you whore. Now
I'm... Okay, that's it, I'm hanging up, man.
What the hell, I'm a Korean War veteran.
One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Go, you whore. What the hell? Anyway, that's Lloyd. Hey, by the way, if you want... hey, you know, we got to get some Lloyd gear in our souvenir shop. That'd be awesome. We got to have a best of Lloyd songs, but visit our website. It's at www.philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com. Our souvenir shop has some new items that you really got to check out, including our new set of coasters from Ted's of Beverly Hills, the Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses. We have the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. We have the Jay Sato Citizens Auxiliary Police pouch jackets. We also have the Flexit caps with the Citizens Auxiliary Police logo on it. And let's see what else we got. Oh, we're going to be coming out with a watch, a Citizens Auxiliary Police belt watch. Plus, we have the travel mug. We have Bobby Dooley's Western Estates polo shirt and the spa robe. Man, it's happening. It's all happening at the zoo, baby.
go to our website, philhenryshow.com, check into our souvenir shop. While there, please pick up a copy of our Best Of CD. You know, we're giving one away in the R.C. Collins contest, but quite frankly, all the money that we raise for the sale of that CD goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. So we would appreciate it. Don't even buy the CD. Just send them a donation. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.